Well, let's take our Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. Now, this year, the Lord has led us to an exciting study of this wonderful book. And this morning, we're going to start in the very place where this book begins. Amen. Revelation, chapter number 1. And this morning, let's look at verses 1 to 3. And then we'll open in a word of prayer. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bared record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we need you and we need your holy word more than ever before. Lord, as you have told us, Lord, it is certainly true, the time is at hand. Lord, we are living in the last days and we see, Lord, your truth being unveiled before our very eyes. Lord, help us to be a people that walk in faith. Lord, help us to be a people that not only hear your word, but are seeking to obey you according to the things that are written therein. Lord, help us as your people to live in these prophetic times in victory. Lord, help us to be excited and encouraged as we are reminded that your plan is unfolding and that, Lord, you are on the throne and that everything, Heavenly Father, is going exactly as you have planned. Thank you for the safety that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we commit to you this study in your word. We pray that you would work mightily through it. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that all that will be seen and all that will be taught will be only your desire and not my own. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that he may be our teacher this morning and lead us into truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, for those of you who weren't with us last Sunday morning, we unveiled our yearly theme for 2015. And as you can see this morning, our theme is, the time is at hand. That verse is found at the beginning of the book of the Revelation in verse 3, and also at the end of the book of the Revelation in chapter 22 and verse 10. And this statement, our book ends to this wonderful book of prophecy. And the Lord tells us and makes this statement to us because he wants us to know that there is an urgency to the Christian life. The Bible tells us that the time is at hand. And that not only describes the timing of the Lord's coming, but also how he will come and how these events will unfold. They will happen suddenly. They will happen quickly. And we need to be, more than ever, in 2015, serious about the Christian life. Amen. The Lord has a special challenge for us as we live in prophetic days, that the time is at hand. Now is not the time to walk backwards or to backslide in our Christian life. No, this year we need to press forward and get serious for God. Amen. Last week we looked at some of the signs of the times, some of the prophetic fulfillment in the Word of God that shows us that we are in the last days. Last week we saw how the nation of Israel is back in the land. Amen. God's Word has been fulfilled. They have been reassembled back in the land, but they are not yet spiritually returned to the Lord. That will happen as we will study through the book of the Revelation. But my friends, the time is at hand. The nation of Israel is back in the land. They are planning the construction of the third temple. My friends, we live in the last days, do we not? The Bible says in the last days there will be an explosion of apostasy. People who once held to the truth will reject it, even as if they were unbelievers. And many of them are, that are leading the movement of apostasy in our days. People are leaving even good independent Baptist churches and falling into the seduction of error, the emerging church, and the last days apostasy. That is one of the signs, the very powerful signs of the last days. And then we see the sign of godlessness. We live in a day of absolute godlessness, where God is being rejected as if He never existed and never created this world. My friends, that is another powerful sign that we live in the last days. The Bible says, perilous times shall come, and we live in them. But as God's people, He doesn't want us to be fearful about the last days, does He? No, He wants us to be excited and encouraged because of the fact that God has told us everything we need to know in order to live in victory in the last days. One of those special books of prophecy is right here in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. God has led us this year to study through this wonderful book. I'm glad you're here this morning for the first part of our study. Before we launch into chapter number one, let me share you a little story I heard recently. A group of students who began their Bible college studies decided to play a little bit of basketball after their daily classes. They met at a public school nearby, and as they were playing, they noticed that every day the janitor would wait until they had left before he cleaned the basketball court. So every day the janitor was there, and this patient old man was reading a book. One day one of the students went up to him and said, "What are you reading?" And believe it or not, it was the Bible. One of the students said to him, Well, what book are you reading from? And he said, "Well, I'm reading through the book of the Revelation." Now the student was a little bit surprised, and he asked him this question. He said, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" The old man said, "Yes, I understand it." The student said to him, "Well, what does it mean?" The old man, this janitor, quietly answered, and he says, "Well, the book simply means this, that Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win." And I believe that is a wonderfully a complete statement and commentary on the book of the Revelation. My friends, that's what prophecy is all about. And this wonderful book, that Jesus is going to win. And this year, God wants to encourage our faith in Jesus Christ, remembering that He is on the throne and He is coming again, and God wants us to be witnesses in our day more than ever before. He doesn't want us to be fearful about the world events that are taking place. No, He wants us to put on our prophetic glasses, our prophetic eyes, to see exactly what God is doing in the world and be encouraged and challenged to serve Him more than ever before. You see, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." Why did He tell us that? Because His reward is with Him. My friends, we need to be serving the word of we need to be serving God in the world in which we live. We need to be getting busy about the Father's business. We need to be ready to sweat a little bit, amen, in the city of Cairns, if we want to serve God. God wants to do a refining work in His purifying process in our lives. God wants us to lay up treasures in heaven because His reward is with Him. And we're going to be encouraged this year from the book of the Revelation as we look through these wonderful chapters. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message today is An Introduction to a Very Special Book. An Introduction to a Very Special Book. Here in chapter number one, John gives us some information that is essential to understanding this wonderful book of prophecy. Now, if you're taking notes, the first point is the special writer of the Revelation. Why is it a special book? Well, notice firstly with me the special writer of the Revelation. There in chapter 1 and verse 1, at the end of the verse, the Bible tells us that the Lord sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant. What's the next word? John. John wrote the book of the Revelation. Now, five times in this book, John tells us that he is the writer. In fact, this is the fifth book that John wrote, being led of the Holy Spirit of God and inspired of God to write this book. He wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of the Revelation. Who was John? Well, the verse number 1 tells us, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his, what's the next word? Servant. John was a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, as you read through the Bible, you'll learn a little bit about the Apostle John. He was the brother of James. He was one of the chosen apostles during the Lord's earthly ministry. In chapter number 1, as we will see later on, John looks up and he sees a heavenly vision of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ as he really is, in all his glory and in all his radiance. But remember, this wasn't the first time that John saw the Lord glorified on earth. No. Remember, he was on the Mount Transfiguration. And he was part of that inner group of the Lord's apostles. And he witnessed the Lord's transfiguration. And he saw the Lord in all his glory. He was certainly a disciple, as the Bible tells us that Jesus loved. Remember there at the cross, as the Lord was paying for your sins and mine, he even thought about what would happen to Mary. And he committed Mary to John, the disciple whom he loved. And he said, John, I want you to treat Mary just like your own mother. And John took her in, and he looked after Mary after the crucifixion of Christ. John was certainly a servant of Jesus Christ, amen. He was a faithful apostle. He was a faithful preacher of the Word of God, and he became a pillar in the early church in Jerusalem. Notice the word servant with me in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The word servant literally means a slave. Now, if you work as a servant in our world today, it's a little bit different. If you're a servant, or you know someone who works as a servant, well, you have fixed hours that you work, you earn a wage, you have rights, and you have a measure of freedom within that job. Now, the word servant here doesn't mean that. It means a bond slave, someone who has no rights, someone who has given their rights over to another, that is the absolute property of his master. And you see, John was a true servant of Jesus Christ. He knew he had been bought with a price, with the precious blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he was willing to live a life of full surrender to his Savior. In the day in which we live, my friends, you and I also need to surrender our all to Jesus Christ. My friends, in the light of his coming, we don't have time to wonder whether we should give our lives over to God as Christians in full surrender. No, my friends, the time is at hand. And if you're resisting God's will for your life, and if you haven't as yet, as a born-again Christian, given your life to God and asked him, Lord, what do you want me to do? My friends, this is the year. John was a servant of Jesus Christ, amen. He was one that gave his life to God. Notice he also suffered greatly for Jesus Christ. Look with me in Revelation chapter 1, jump to verse number 9 for a moment. The Bible says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in, what's the next word? Tribulation. Tribulation. That word tribulation means affliction. It means persecution. It means trouble. As we read on in verse number 9, the Bible tells us that he was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because John had been preaching the gospel, because he had been telling the world how they must be born again, John was locked up and he was sent to Patmos as a prisoner, as a criminal, for preaching the word of God. And that's where we find John when he receives this vision from the Lord, here in the book of the Revelation. Now, if you would go to Google Maps and you would Google the name of the island Patmos, it would take you to a little island just off the coast of modern-day Turkey. Now, John was exiled on that island as a prisoner, and it's closer to Turkey than it is to Greece, and I believe it's a bit of a holiday island today and a famous tourist destination because of the book of the Revelation. But let me assure you, John was not on any holiday there on that island, was he? No, my friends, he suffered greatly for the name of Jesus Christ. See, under Roman rule, that island was used as a place where criminals were sent. It was used for a place where political and religious troublemakers were sent. Exile for John would have began with scourging, physical punishment. It would have continued with chains and fetters, heavy iron chains, and the inability to move freely. He lacked food, he lacked clothing, he slept on the bare ground, and he may have even according to some historians, had to go through hard labor in the rock quarries of that island. Yet it is here that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to John all that we will read in the book of the Revelation. My friends, there is a special writer who wrote this book, and his name is John. And he's a wonderful example to us as a Christian. He was faithful to the Lord, and I believe the Lord rewarded him, amen, with all that we will read and see during this series here in this wonderful book. And God rewards His servants. God rewards His servants. God reveals His truth in His Word to those who are faithful, to those who surrender their life to Jesus Christ, those who are willing to get serious about the Christian life. The Lord reveals His Word to us that we already have in a greater and greater way. But the point I'd like to make this morning, I believe as a people, we need to appreciate the precious gift that we hold in our hands right now, the Word of God. You know, John was a Christian that suffered greatly for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And down through the centuries, my friends, our forefathers suffered and died and were persecuted and tortured. Why? Because they kept the faith of the Word of God. And my friends, sometimes I believe we come to church and we take it lightly that we have a copy of our own of the Bible in our hands this morning. Isn't that right? Some of us even don't even care much about coming to church at times. And so often we forget of those who have suffered and died in the past for the preservation and the proclamation of the Word of God that you and I have the privilege of having in our hands this morning. My friends, it is a divine miracle that God preserved His Word, and a divine privilege for those who suffered to preserve it so that we can have it today and we can read this wonderful book here at Coastline Baptist Church this year. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. This is an exciting book, but we ought to be thankful. And I trust as you come to church this year, you will have a greater thankfulness that we can even study the book of the Revelation. You know, there are believers outside our very safe borders in this Western country. There are believers that are not so able to gather like we are today, being persecuted, put to death for their faith, that don't even have their own copy of the Word of God. And John was a faithful servant of God who was willing to suffer and die. And my friends, we ought to value what we have in our hands this morning. Thank God he suffered and died for the testimony of Christ. Thank God we have the testimony of Christ in our hands right now. Don't take it for granted, my friends. What a privilege to be in the house of God this morning. What a privilege to be under the Word of God, to enjoy it together. Let me encourage you with that thought as we launch into this wonderful series this year. Well, we've seen the special writer of the Revelation. Let's go on to the special purpose of this book. The special purpose, secondly, of the book of the Revelation. Notice there in verse number 1. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Notice the word revelation. This word in the Greek means apokalypsis. It's where we get the English word for apocalypse. Now, unfortunately, we use this word in the wrong way today. The word apocalypse, so often we use today, is a statement for something that we describe as a catastrophe or something that is a tragedy. But here in the Word of God, this word means an unveiling, a uncovering, a revealing. That's what the word revelation means, to reveal, to reveal. So then what is the special purpose of this book? Now look up here this morning with me. The special purpose of this book is to reveal none other than what verse 1 tells us, our Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is all about. This book is about lifting up and exalting our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, my friends, God pulls back the very curtains of heaven and He shows us our wonderful Savior high and lifted up. Amen. Thank God our Lord Jesus is on the very throne of God and He is there ruling and reigning in all His power and He is coming again. And that's what this wonderful book is about. Thank God, just like the old janitor said, Jesus wins. Amen. My friends, that's what this book is all about. That's the special purpose of the book of the Revelation, to reveal Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 verse 10, the Bible says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That simply means that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is at the heart of the prophetic passages in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is the heart of the book of the Revelation. Don't miss that. Don't miss that, my friends, because that's the reason why God has given us this wonderful book as Christians, to grow this year and to know our Savior, our Lord Jesus, better. In Revelation chapter 1 to 3, Christ is the exalted King over all the churches. In chapter 4 and 5, He is seen in heaven as the glorified Lamb of God reigning on the throne. Chapter 16 to 18, Christ is the judge of all the earth. Revelation chapter 19, the Lord Jesus returns to earth as the conquering King of Kings, amen, and the Lord of Lords. And the book closes as the Lord Jesus Christ ushers His heavenly bridegroom, His people who are us, and leads us into His wonderful heavenly city to be with Him forever. My friends, what is the special purpose of this book? It's to reveal our Lord Jesus Christ to us in a greater way. Now, God didn't give us the book of Revelation so you and I can get sidetracked and caught up in all sorts of conspiracy theories that are going on today. You know, there are some Christians, when they look at prophecy, they miss the point. God wants us to have a closer relationship with Him, not a closer relationship to our TV remote control, amen? That's the reason why He tells us about prophecy. He doesn't want us to be caught up in all sorts of political schemes and conspiracy theories and get held back from what we ought to do by going out on the streets and being a witness for the Lord rather than being addicted to the computer and on the internet, excuse me, and getting sidetracked by perverse stories that we have no idea whether they're true or not. And by the way, the Lord rebuked His disciples when they asked for a sign. And the Lord said, "No, the only sign that you will get is when you see Me coming in the clouds to receive you unto Myself." That is the next event on our prophetic calendar, the rapture of the saints. That will be the sign of the Lord's return, my friends, and the unfolding events that we will see. But let me encourage you, the special purpose of this book is to know the Lord. That's what chapter 1 tells us, to know Him more. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no way that you can understand the book of the Revelation. There are many kooks out there on the internet, amen, that are writing commentaries on this book that are not even saved. And they don't even understand what God is saying. My friends, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you. There is a God in heaven that loves you. He came down to this old wicked world to die for your sins and mine on the cross. And then on the third day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rose again from the dead. So that if we repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways and put our faith in Christ as Savior once and for all, you and I can be forgiven through His blood once and for all. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, have you put your faith in Christ as Savior once and for all? Is your soul right with God? If you died this moment, are you 100% sure that your eternity is safe with Jesus Christ? My friends, if you are not sure, don't go any further this morning than making sure that you don't leave here without receiving Christ as your Savior. My friends, He is coming again, and it may be any minute. Our soul needs to be prepared, and the gift of salvation is offered to all. Let me challenge you to receive Him this morning. For those of you who are saved, my friends, the Lord wants us to know Him more. The special purpose of this book is to reveal Jesus Christ and to reveal the future victory of our Savior. Notice there back in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. My friends, this book is not a strange, obscure book. My friends, this is an open book that God has given us openly to reveal to us the future victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God is revealing to us in this wonderful book, the things which must shortly come to pass. And I tell you what, this is an exciting book for the Christian. Amen. My friend, this is the end of the story. You see, we know who wins at the end. And let me remind you, it is not the devil, my friends. Amen. It is not the atheist, my friends. It is not the persecutors of the Christians this morning, my friends. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that wins. And we already know because we can read the end of the book. Amen. We have the end of the book. It reveals our wonderful Savior's victory. It is the wonderful climax of the Bible and draws in every prophetic statement that was stated in the Bible previously. It draws it all in, and all those wonderful chords of prophecy are brought together in a final ending that is a wonderful hope and a wonderful thrill for the born-again Bible-believing Christian. My friends, this is a special book with a special purpose. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. What God has started, He will finish." Amen. And we have an eternity that is sure and safe with our Savior, and that needs to be a wonderful comfort for us in the day that we live. My friends, we live in uncertain days. We live in a rapidly changing world where governments are falling any minute and every minute. Anything can happen all around the world. We live in fearful days. We live in days of terror and hatred and violence. And yet God has given us some wonderful truths in His Word to reveal to us through eyes of faith that the victory has already been won. We are on the winning side, amen. Jesus Christ is coming and He will defeat all His enemies. Satan will be banished forever. And we have a glorious hope in this wonderful book. We can become overcomers through faith in Jesus Christ. By trusting in Him, we can live a victorious Christian life in the day in which we live. And you know, when John lays down his pen at the end of the book, you know what's left? All that is left is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus." My friends, the special purpose of this book is to reveal Jesus Christ. As we go through this series, look for your Savior. Let me encourage you to see Him as He really is. Our Lord Jesus Christ isn't some anorexic, effeminate character hanging on the post of a Roman Catholic church, my friends. No, He is the glorified King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Saviour, high and lifted up. And this year at Coastline Baptist Church, we're going to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ through this wonderful book. My friends, let's see Him as He really is. That is the purpose of the book of the Revelation. There is a special writer, there is a special purpose. Also, there are some special keys to unlocking this wonderful book. Now, these are not keys that are hidden. These are not secret keys, but often these are keys that are neglected and left to the side, and that's why this book often becomes a very confusing and misunderstood book. There are some special keys to unlock the book of the Revelation. Now, if you wanted to unlock the front door to our house, you need to use the right key. Is that right? If you use the wrong key, it won't open. And as Christians, we need to make sure, as we study through any book, that we follow the Bible principles of interpretation. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. We can't just read the Word of God and make it out to sound like how we want. We can't just interpret the Word of God and put our own thoughts and feelings into it and say, "Okay, I think this means this." No, we need to follow the Bible rules of interpretation. One of those keys that we will be using this year as we study this book is the literal interpretation key. The literal interpretation key. As we approach the Word of God, we need to give each word its plain meaning in its literal sense. Now, that doesn't ruin the different symbols in the Bible. Notice with me Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. At the end of verse 1 it says, "And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John." The word "signified" means to show by a sign. Now, if you've ever read through this book, you would have found out that there are lots of signs in this book. There are lots of symbols in the book of the Revelation. And we need to be careful that we follow God's rules of Bible interpretation. And first of all, we need to use the literal interpretation key. Now, that doesn't ruin the signs and symbols. But if something in this book cannot be understood literally, then we need to look at the verses around them that are literal and join the connection together. That's what context means. Looking at the verses that are before and looking at the verses after and understanding that symbol or that type in its setting of the context. We need to study the words in their context also. But you see, if something cannot be understood literally, it will be made clear by the words that are around them. The different symbols in the Bible. Now, here's a good rule when it comes to this literal interpretation key. If the plain sense makes common sense, then seek no other sense. We can't just force our own views onto the Bible. No, God has said what He said and means what He means, and we need to make sure we approach the Word of God literally. Many people take the book of the Revelation and they spiritualize it. They don't take God's word for word. No, they think it has a much more deeper and mysterious spiritual meaning than what God has said. And they're sidetracked in their life, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, and they're confused by this book of the Bible. We need to approach the Word of God in this book with the literal interpretation key, then also with the Old Testament key. The Old Testament key. As we look through this book, you'll see that there are 350 references to the Old Testament in the book of the Revelation. And now that's important. There are Old Testament concepts like the Book of Life in the book of the Revelation. The wine of God's wrath is mentioned in this book, but also in the Old Testament. Names such as Jezebel, Balaam, and Babylon. You know, Babylon, that great city. Well, we need to understand what God says about Babylon in the Old Testament. We need to understand words in their context, and many of the symbols that are perhaps obscure in the book of the Revelation are explained in their connection to the Old Testament and what God says in the Old Testament. There are some special keys to unlocking this special book. And my friends, the Bible is the best commentary on itself. If you want to know what the book of the Revelation says? Well, look at the other prophecies in the Word of God, amen. Don't go to the internet, amen. Please, God forbid you would go to the internet. Let me encourage you to be in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. There are some special keys. They're common ones, but they're often rejected ones. Some people say that they don't read the Old Testament. They just read the New. Well, then how can you understand the book of the Revelation? God has given us the whole counsel of God. We need to read through the Old Testament. Let me encourage you, church family. When you're having difficulty as you read through the Bible plan for the year and you're having difficulty in the Old Testament, get yourself a dictionary, a Bible dictionary, and look up some words and study those verses more. But for whatever you do, don't stop reading the Old Testament, amen? Don't worry about the verses you don't understand. Just keep reading. God will speak to you in verses that He will allow you to understand. But keep reading through the Old Testament. It is important, especially in our study of the book of the Revelation. And as I said, many of the symbols are defined already in the Old Testament for us. We just simply need to connect the dots with the right key. Amen. Thirdly, there's the chronological order key. Now, here in the book of the Revelation, this is the only book that God gives us a divinely inspired outline of the book. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. The chronological order key. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Notice the inspired, divinely inspired outline in verse number 19. Let's read chapter 1 verse 19 together, all right? Let me know that you're still awake this morning. Chapter 1, verse 19, let's read it together on two. 1, 2. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. My friends, God has been very good to us. He doesn't want us to be confused. He has given us a key, which is an outline of the chronological order of this wonderful book. In Revelation chapter number 1, John writes down the things which thou hast seen. He writes down this, what he has seen in his vision of the glorified Christ. In verse number 19, we see then he goes on to write the things which are. In chapters 2 and 3 of this book, God shows John at the state of the churches of the day. And in chapter number 2, he writes the things which are. And that applies to us in our day as Christians in the church. And those truths are written to the church age saints. Revelation chapter number 2 and 3. And then lastly, he is to write, and the things which shall be hereafter, from the book of the Revelation chapter 4 to chapter number 22. And that's important for us to understand. This is the breakup of this wonderful book. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And the book of the Revelation has an order within it that we need to keep to, or else we'll get confused. Or else we'll think, as some do, that the born-again Christians will be present during the tribulation period. My friend, there is no practical mention of the church from the book of the Revelation, chapter 4 onwards. There is no mention of the church on earth. There is no mention of you and I going through the tribulation. And thank God for that. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and He has delivered us from wrath. We are looking forward to the rapture. As we read the things to come, what do we learn about? Well, we learn about the things to come that we won't be here for. The events that will take place prophetically. And once we see the right order of the events as God lays it out, we can also interpret those symbols more clearly as well. We can understand more clearly what they truly mean. The literal interpretation key, the Old Testament key, the chronological order key, and then the scene of activity key. All right, just a bit of Bible study information this morning. Now, some events in the book of the Revelation take place on earth, and some of them take place in heaven. And we need to be careful not to confuse the two. In the book of the Revelation, chapter number 4, notice there with me. Revelation chapter 4. These are the things which shall be hereafter. Notice chapter 1, verse 1 in chapter 4. The Bible says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Now, we need to understand what the Bible says and the chronology that and the order of events that God puts them in. Some events take place in heaven, chapter 4 and 5, and some of them take place on earth. So we need to put them in the right order, or again, we will be confused. My friends, let me encourage you. This is a book that needs to be studied. But it is not of any private interpretation. You cannot just do what you want with the Word of God and try to fit your conspiracy theories into what God tells us in His Word. Now, God's Word needs to be interpreted biblically. And these keys will help us to understand this year what God is really saying, so we don't get sidetracked, so we don't become confused. And I'll admit there are some symbols in this wonderful book that will be difficult to understand. And I believe in the future to come, those who will live during that time will understand exactly what God says and what exactly they mean. But we'll enjoy studying through this book together and see what God has for us. Because remember, He wrote this book to whom? To the church. He said to John, you need to give this to the churches. And he did. And that's why we have it today, amen. The book of the Revelation. Now lastly with me, we've seen how there's a special writer, a special purpose, and some special keys. Lastly, notice the special blessing of this wonderful book. There in Revelation chapter number 1. My friends, this is a very special book. Why? Because there is a special blessing for every child of God who heeds to this wonderful Word of God. Let's read verse number 3 together. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. On 2. 1, 2. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are therein, for the time is at hand. My friends, this is the only book in the Bible, look up here this morning, the only book in the Bible which God declares a divine blessing upon every child of God who hears the Word of God, who understands it and is willing to obey the Word of God. Now remember, at the end of this verse, this is where we get our yearly theme, the time is at hand. And my friends, there is an urgency in the world today for God's people to not only hear the Word of God, not only to believe it, but to obey it. My friends, notice there in verse number 3, the word readeth means to know again. Doesn't only mean to know. It means to know again. God wants His prophetic truth to be in the forefront of our mind. God wants us to live out a life expecting and being excited and anticipating the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the consummation of all things. He wants us to read it again, to know it again, to have that in the forefront of our mind as we live out this year. Notice the word "hear" there in verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. That word doesn't only mean to audibly hear as you are hearing today, but it also means, amen, brother, to understand. The word of God needs to be understood. You might say, Pastor, why isn't it enough just to hear it? Because if we don't understand it, then what will happen? Well, we won't do the next thing. Notice what the Bible says, and keep those things written therein. If we don't understand the Word of God, my friends, we will not obey the Word of God, and we will not live a victorious Christian life in 2015. Let me encourage you, church family, let's claim this promise from God this year, amen? This is our yearly theme. This is the verse He has led us to take hold on. Let me encourage you to allow God to bless you this year. You might be saying, Pastor, you're just trying to con me into being in church. No, my friends. I'm glad you're in church. Praise God. But it's my privilege to be here too. To worship with God's people. And to be blessed by God. Let me encourage you. This is a promise for you. This is a promise for me. As we enjoy this journey together through this very special book, I believe God's going to bless us more than ever before. He wants us to continue to be revived. And there's nothing more that will revive the church than you and I understanding how near the end times is and how near our Lord Jesus Christ coming is. That's a wonderful theme of revival right here. God will promise to bless. God will promise so that we can live in hope and joy. And by the way, that's already a blessing. If you and I can live in greater hope and greater joy because of what we read in this book, my friend, that is already a blessing from God. That's one thing He wants to do in our lives this year. Don't despair, church family, by what you see on the news. Don't be fearful. As I said last week, parents, some of your children are afraid. Some of your children are afraid by what's happening on the news. Some of your children are afraid about what's happening in our country. Some of your children are afraid about what their future will be as Christians. My friends and parents, let me challenge you. It is your responsibility to know what God says in His Word. Not what the kooks say on the internet, but what God says in His Word. That's what will strengthen their faith. The Word of God is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword, amen? They need the Word of God to build them up, to prepare them for what lies ahead, so they can be saved. They can live victoriously in these prophetic days. My friends, this is a very special book. I hope you've seen that this morning. Amen? Amen. There is a special writer, John. Let me encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to be thankful that we have the Word of God in our hands. And we can study through this special book this year. People have lost their lives for standing on the truth that we take for granted this morning. Don't take that for granted, church family, please. A special writer of the book. And then a special purpose. Yes, we'll see much detail in this book. Events that will cause your hair to stand on end. But we need to remember that it is our Saviour that is in control of all things. If He is your Saviour, my friends, you are safe in Him. He will give you grace and joy and victory, whatever may come. And the purpose of this book is so that you and I can get to know our Saviour better, our glorified Lord, as He is revealed in this Word. And then there are some special keys. Amen. Let me encourage you to be in church. We're going to interpret the Word of God as it should be, according to the Word of God. And we're going to see what God has for us. Don't be discouraged if you don't understand something in this book. Let me encourage you to be in church as we walk through this wonderful truth together. Beware of false doctrine and the apostasy of the day. You know, the emerging church doesn't even believe in the rapture, by the way. They believe that we're building the kingdom right now on earth. That's just one example of the apostasy of the day, which we'll be learning about tonight. We need to be warned and prepared that not everyone will believe God's Word as we believe it to be. But thank God we have His Word. And lastly, there's a special blessing. You want God to bless your year in 2015, yes or no?
Amen.
Amen. Well, don't just come to church to hear. Don't just come. Don't just read the Word of God. We need to understand it. See what God has for us. And when we obey His Word, when we live as Christians in these last days and in the generation we will live, my friends, God will bless our lives. He will bless our church because of this very special book. That's His promise. That is His truth to us. The book of the Revelation, the very special book. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that your sins are forgiven, that you have been born again, my friends, the time is at hand for your salvation. You need to not delay and come and see us this morning after the service. If you're not sure, God knows that. And He wants you to take care of that before it's too late. And church family, if you're a Christian, what excuse do we really have in not being in the house of God? None at all. He is coming. And He will reward every man according to his work. Let's band together and serve the Lord this year, amen. With excitement, with hope, and with joy, as the Lord unfolds for us what He has in this very special book.